of their neighbors. Now, after a long period of time, during which this sort of local society, this local community, divided up into many small groups, had been settled in this region, we encounter a series of stories about the Hebrews having been carried off into bondage in Egypt. Now, it's quite likely indeed, that a certain number of these people were taken away as prisoners of war in these great struggles between the Egyptians and the Hittites. The Egyptians and the Hittites, after all, were sort of marching back and forth through much of this territory. But it's also very likely that certain numbers of people finding life difficult in the barren and harsh plains of the land of Israel, a land that has really been brought to much fruition by the technologies of modern agriculture, by chemical fertilizers and by modern farm machinery and so on. Very hard to get a living out of that land in antiquity. It may very well have been then that some of these Hebrews elected to migrate into Egypt, a land which we have seen was legendary for its prosperity. Now, what probably happened was that during the New Kingdom in Egypt, you'll perhaps recall from our lecture on Egypt, that during the New Kingdom, the pharaohs first of all rose up to throw off the Hyksos, these external invaders who had come in at the end of the Middle Kingdom, and that they then began building an empire of their own, partly to ward off foreign conquest and partly to ward off foreign influences. It may very well have been at that time that the Hebrews living in Egypt were really reduced to bondage. They may have been sort of resident aliens. I wouldn't want to say that they had a privileged status before this, although the story of Joseph certainly suggests to us that some of them had a reasonably privileged existence in Egypt. But in any case, probably during the New Kingdom, many of the Hebrews were reduced to subjection. Gradually, a leader arose among them, Moses. And in the years after the Egyptians and Hittites had really begun to weaken, and that's fairly important, Moses was able to forge his people into one, and then to lead them out of Egypt. A century or two centuries before, such an activity would have been unthinkable. Egypt would simply have been too powerful. So it's important that Egypt had actually weakened a good deal when the exodus, the journey out, the departure, took place. Now, we have a series of accounts of that departure. The Hebrews left Egypt. They wandered for a period of 40 years in the desert of Sinai, before they settled again in the land, presumably from which they had come. Well, obviously, some of their fellows were still there. Not all of them had left, all right? And they came back in. Now, we have two, for example, very different accounts. One account suggests that they re-entered this land slowly and in small groups and settled all over the territory. Another account, of course, is the one where Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. They came in, there was one great battle, and they won, and they took over. Probably there were great battles, and that's remembered. And probably there was a very slow, patient entry into this new land. For a long time, the Hebrews lived under rulers called judges, a group of sort of local notables who were responsible for the leadership of relatively small groups of people. There was considerable contention among these groups of people. It was only in the face of external threats, of the Philistines, of the sea peoples, to whom I alluded a few minutes ago, that the Hebrews were really induced to unify. And they created for themselves kings, Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. Now, under these kings, the Hebrews were unified, as they had not been before. Under Solomon, a very considerable commercial state was created, a state of considerable prosperity, of considerable influence. But the unification had only really come in the face of an external threat, in the face of an external challenge. A certain disinclination to accept strong centralized authority then led to a situation where the small unified kingdom broke down into two even smaller kingdoms, one in the north, called Israel, with its capital at Samaria, one in the south, called Judah, with its capital at Jerusalem. These two kingdoms existed then for a period of about two or three centuries. They struggled often with one another. They struggled often with external foes, no great foes yet, no great powers yet. And all of the evidence that we have, again, the evidence of the Hebrew Bible, suggests that these were contentious folk, that there were a great many struggles inside the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Gradually, however, powerful neighbors arose. In 722 BC, the kingdom of Israel, the northernmost of the kingdoms, was conquered by the Assyrians. We'll talk in our next lecture about the Assyrians. About a century and a half later,